Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is
June 7th, 2018.
Great. In turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, folks, if you haven't made this choice, make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency. My cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now you can always find updates of the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all these things at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube live right now and on some FM stations, so please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like
Stockholm, Sweden, Sofia, Bulgaria, Paraguay, Czech.
Prague.
What is it?
It's Prague.
Prague. What's the other word?
Czech.
Czech Republic, Budapest, Hungary.
Hungary.
Oh, Hungary.
You know, like you're hungry.
Oh, well. I don't spell it that way, but okay.
Well, that's the way they spell it. It's their country. You know, you don't get to spell it the way you want to.
But there's no A in Hungary.
Hungary. Like you're hungry.
That's Hungary.
Read the rest of them.
And there's good old USA, such as Chandler, Arizona.
Well, you missed Juarez, Mexico.
I know I said it. You were just talking instead of listening. Okay. New Orleans, Louisiana, Tampa, Florida, Lexington, Kentucky, and Santa Ana, California.
As well as
Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio program when they podcast later tonight.
Okay. And enough of that. So we can tell how the program's going to go, folks. Anyway, follow us and share us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Follow us and share us on Twitter. Now a prayer, and we'll talk. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I ask for radio to go according to your will and not our will, Father. Give us the words in which you wish us to say, Father, or the message, and give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, say hello to them or something, Mom.
Hello, people, or something. You should say hello or something, so hello, people, or something.
Really, this is how this is going to go tonight?
Okay, you got a headache, so I'll be good.
My headache's sitting next to me. Anyway.
I don't see nobody.
Okay, moving right along. Let's start this off, and we'll bring her in for comment. Anyway, talking about all these things that are going on that aren't good for us, that are being shoved down our throat, Minnesota Public Library announces cross-dressing series for children as part of a response to the Trump policy. Well, the St. Paul, Minnesota Public Library announced a summer series called Drag Story Hours as part of his We Belong Together initiative. For generations, libraries were places where people went to borrow books, learn about the past, and kindle imaginations. Today, however, they occasionally find themselves at the forefront of the culture war. A case in point can be found at the St. Paul Public Library, where officials on Monday announced that they would be offering a new summer series on cross-dressing, Drag Story Hours, and that's open to children and adults. Drag pushes people to break boundaries and explore creativity, said Chad Campy, a Minnesota activist who organizes queer-friendly events and is promoting the series with SPLL. At a very young age, we are taught to embrace our differences. Drag not only provides an opportunity to embrace who we are, but allows for us to broadcast and share who we are with the world. Folks, yeah, share something that's abnormal and sick. According to the Word, in Deuteronomy 22:5, we find that, what's that say?
The woman shall not wear what pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord Yahweh.
Right. Amen. So the three events are going to be held June 11th, June 16th, and July 11th, and will be live streamed on Facebook. Make sure everybody watches it, right? No. And we'll feature story readings, songs, and two performers who will strut their stuff for an over-the-top story hour, SPLL officials said in a press release. But let's back up here for a second. Now, listen, let's reverse that. Let's say these, would it be appropriate, forgetting that these are cross-dressers, would it be appropriate if, let's say, they brought in women and had them dress up like this and strut around very sexually in front of young children? Now, would that be appropriate?
No.
Okay, so why in the world would they think that they could do it as transvestites because they're transvestites? Then we have to accept them, and it's okay. One, you see the problem, folks? Anyway, going on with the article, this series is a part of an inclusive campaign called We Belong Together, a 27 initiative that SPPL officials said is was a response to the Trump administration's travel ban. That doesn't connect. Anyway, using public infrastructure as a vehicle to advance social justice morality is not new in Minnesota. And if you go to Minnesota, folks, that's also one of the top Muslim states. Anyway, in 2017, one of the state's top school districts made national news after it was revealed officials had initiated a sweeping initiative that reordered the district's mission from academic excellence for all students to racial equality. Now, you catch what that just said? Their job is no longer, the official said it's no longer that they're out to get kids educated, but to make them for academic excellence, like being great in math and great in history and, you know, the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. No, they're academic thing now is to make racial equality. So in other words, they want to make them stupid.
It's like the coexist.
Right, but see, they dumb them down. This is admittance that they're dumbing them down. They're feeding them garbage. They're not worried about how good you do in math. They're not worried about how good you do in history, but they are worried about that you'll accept transvestites and everybody, all these things that are normal, and it is not normal. A look at the We Belong Together website shows a heavy emphasis on drag culture. The link for this article, I put it up at the pastor's page at prophecyhour.com. Folks know how to get there. You want to look at the article I just read, go over there. Anyway, this agenda is just coming on so strong. One stepmom told me, this is part of the article, she said, it's a very sad day arrived when we are handing our children over with their innocence and their pure minds, filling them with such confusion. And that's what they want to do. They put it in children when they're young. Their kids think it's normal.
And they put it in their movies and everything else, too.
Right. And on a side note, you know, I can understand that. That's how that works because, you know, I'm going to be 63 in July 4th, of course. But my point is to point back to my childhood. I still believe today that what I watched when I was a little kid helped transform me into who I am. But the people I watched were John Wayne. The people that I watched were cowboys that barely even kissed a girl on in the movies. You know, Sky King, the Lone Ranger,
and Easy Rider is the one that made you the biker.
Right, and no, it isn't.
It isn't?
No, that's another story, and I don't want to go into that right now. And I'm an ex-outlaw blacker, but that was not what it was. I don't want to get into my story because it'll take too long. I've said it too many times on the air, not too many times, but right now we're into this. But I will say, it was a movie, and it was called The Wild Angels. It wasn't called Easy Rider. And one day we'll give my testimony again, or our testimony, but I want to do this right now. Anyway, see how rabbit holes can
be
found?
They don't even have those kind of movies anymore, really. Cowboy movies and stuff like that, they don't. They have all the new kills. Like the new game they came out with where kids can shoot their classmates and be the shooter. Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Going to that for a minute, the one thing, strange things about movies now is, you know, way back, it was very easy to pick out who the good guy and the bad guy is.
Right.
Now, the bad guy, the good guy on in the movies, are
turns
just
out to be the bad guy.
Or, their behavior is just as bad as the bad guy.
Right.
The guy that they're saying is the good guy or the hero of the movie usually ends up being just as bad as the other one, and it's
right.
just. Not right, but in the era of the things that those people in those movies taught me to respect women. They really did, open doors for them, stand up for children and all kinds of things like that. And it's totally lacking. Now out in public, you open door for a millennial or, a younger woman or something, they give you funny looks or whatever, and hey, what'd I do? I just opened the door for you. You know what I mean? And so it's almost a spooky thing. It's not as bad as where we live at, but if we lived on the coast, we'd probably almost get arrested for it. Anyway, so the point is, so I know from experience that putting things into a child at a young age is dangerous. Ergo, like you said, yeah, when I was in third grade, my mom took me to see the movie at a drive-in, The Wild Angels. And I made a choice at that moment. At that moment, after seeing that, I idolized outlaw bikers, which, folks, is the difference between a regular somebody that's a motorcycle enthusiast, that's a biker that rides a bike all the time, but is law-abiding. Now, on the other hand, when I say outlaw bikers, that means a criminal.
Right.
And so if that was in a different era, I would be somebody would be riding with Jesse James or Robin Banks and doing those kind of things and doing it on a horse instead of an iron horse. And while I never robbed any banks, for the record, but I was a criminal, not that kind of a criminal, though. But the point is the point.
They're very impressionable on the kids, and so putting that stuff in the movies and stuff, it makes our kids think that it's normal, and if they do it, then it's okay. And when they should be teaching the Word of God and what's right and morals and family values instead of all this garbage.
Well, okay. And so these people, now, while this is in Minnesota, clearly it's in Minnesota. It is going on all over the country, but the media mostly comes from California and New York, That's where most of the media and shows are, and that is the two places that are pushing it on your screens as normal, along with Facebook and all that. Facebook's cutting conservatives out, and so's YouTube. But yet they will push the gay agenda and this abnormal behavior in, which is just anti-God. Now, these people... Now, it's like this, people talk about the Antichrist, but, it was stated there are many Antichrists. And so the definition of Antichrist, according to Paul, is this: he who denies the Son denies also the Father, which would be Yahweh, and the Son would be Yeshua. So he who denies Jesus, or Yeshua, also denies Yahweh. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, he says. And so you said there are many Antichrists, even today. And so going back to that, that's the spirit that's in the world, is the spirit of Antichrist that is against Yeshua and does not profess, Father, the Father and the Son, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It just doesn't work. And so that's what we see. And that spirit is trying to take over America and almost did. Are you okay over there?
Yeah, I got a mosquito on my ear, and it's right on my...
Okay, well, it's right on your headset. Okay. If that wasn't sidetracking, I don't know what is. Okay. So social justice is really something that, you know, pushes the boundaries, you know, that is actually the devil's agenda. So let's go on this. You brought something up to me, and yeah, we got time for it. We've got about 6 minutes before break. You told me something that I haven't found
that I just read, that I just seen, something that was news. You know, you get advertisements on Facebook. This was an advertisement from Virginia. There's a man running in Virginia for public office that wants to legalize incest and said if it were possible, he would have sex with his daughter, and his daughter is 3 years old, but she isn't in his custody, and heaven's Lord up there, please don't ever let him get visitation.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he's already talking and thinking that way, he needs to go to prison, not run for public office.
Okay, so let's go with this. Incest specifically is another one of those things in the Bible that is outlawed, is it not?
Yes, it is.
So, again, this is an antichrist spirit that's being pushed forth. Now, you know, I just recently did some research. Well, I've seen all the things coming across. I'm always doing research, but I printed out articles that were, there's college professors and think tank groups, you know, from that colleges get together all the big wigs and talk about things. And, you know, they want to legalize pedophilia. You know, and
they did in California, didn't they?
No, not yet. It is not legal yet. No, it is not. But there are judges that are giving Islamist passes because it's okay in their country, and so they want it to be okay here. They have set, you know, they marry little girls and everything, and they believe that they can rape women if they're not dressed appropriately, and even if they are dressed, then they're appropriate is totally covered up, you know what I'm saying? And so that's kind of the connection that we see that, you know, that antichrist spirit is prevalent across the board, you know, and so that's partially why the left, that's what I'm trying to say, the leftists, the Democrats are backing up the Muslims because, you know, they feel this way about it, you know, and it's just sick. It's sick. And they put it across as being normal. You know, what really blows me away is that with all at your fingertips, you know, you can type in just anything, you know, and find it and find the truth of the matter by doing a little bit of research, which isn't hard. But yet we have probably over half of the country is being fooled.
Uh-huh.
You know, thinking these things are normal and taking on these ideas and you know, wanting to have sex with children is just sick, period. You know, and let alone running for public office, you know, that should be, and I looked it up.
Oh, and another thing he said is he believed that fathers should have the say over who their daughters have sex with. Really?
Trying to say it's their property, but you know, it also goes to that antichrist thing. You know, when you talk about abortions, and I did one on abortion not long ago, and I read about it was from this nurse that couldn't take it anymore, watching them slaughter children after they came out, actually. And they're alive. Come on, folks. They're alive. You go in and they feel pain and all that, and you torture them. But you see that antichrist agenda is, it's also like Muslims. Muslims, you know, if you ask them, they care more about death than they do life. You know, and they want to be a martyr because, you know, martyr gives them the best gift. But the point is, it's about death, not life. And so they have no regard for human life in that sense. So, but it's the same agenda. If you can, you know, abort a bit. You know, I'm not saying abortion's okay at any time, point in being. At any time, point in being, but it's just not right, period. You know, let's go with that. And I got a comment up here. It says, traditionally, fathers have been able to decide who their daughters date and have sex with. Well, that's a little bit different story than what we're talking about, brother. You know, that's family deciding who their daughter would date and chaperone.
Right, and that
so
usually
and so
didn't
forth.
Work because they didn't agree and they went behind the back anyway and seen them anyway. If people
well, to a point.
Right,
to
right.
a point, but traditionally that's almost a worldwide thing. You know, I mean, families, that's where they used
yeah,
to
do. Yeah, it's always,
it.
You can come home and meet my dad. Does he have a shotgun?
Yeah, exactly. But and so that was traditional thinking, but that and which I'm not going into right and wrongs of that or whatever, you know. I do believe family, the best thing, hopefully that it's somebody that your family approves of, if your family's a good enough family, so to speak. But because, you know, you're going to be married to that person for life. You know, you're praying that they'll get along with your mother-in-law, with the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law and all that stuff. And, I consider it pretty lucky and that, you know, you get along with the girls, you know. In fact, she probably plots against us all, if you want to know the truth. Us men in the family.
We got girl power.
Yeah, girl power. I've seen that work before. We're getting outnumbered again over here in our city. But anyway, moving back to that. So, you know, yeah, but what we were talking about with this sicko is a totally different thing, meaning that he just wants to be able to go have sex with his daughter. He should be able to decide if he could do it or not. But they are trying to put all that across as being normal, you know. And like I say, you know, I did the research on pedophiles to give this guy some printed out information. And because he was acting like, oh, what I was saying wasn't true, but I haven't heard a word out of him since I gave him the information. And that's usually how a leftist is. When you give them evidence, they either yell about it or whatever. They don't say nothing about it because they don't want to admit they're wrong.
Change the subject.
Change the subject. Move on to something else and go on. Speaking about that. Okay, so now we're getting ready to go to break. So where should we tell them to go find out anything about what you do? You know?
WichitaHomeless.com.
WichitaHomeless.com. Yeah, that's the Wichita Mission Church. And she actually got it right. How about that, folks? You can also go to prophecyhour.com and check us out. And make sure you listen to us. And when you listen to us, share us with others, because the more radio people that we get that listen to this radio, more it means support for the Wichita Mission Church and for radio, folks. We do need support for radios. And, hey, guess what? We'll be back in how many minutes?
3 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And I'm back talking with my lovely wife, Linda. She prefers Mom, but, you know, still Linda to me. You know, it's kind of unromantic to call your wife Mom all the time, you know.
That don't sound right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm, you know, and then sometimes I find myself, I'll be talking about you, and I'll say, well, my mom, and they go, huh? You know, no, wait a minute. I'm talking about my wife, you know, Linda, you know, you're currently not my mom. Okay. Now, having said that, we got another story for you, and we'll see how this one goes. Okay. Doctor explains, and by the way, folks, these articles that we're talking about, you can find them at the pastor's page. Over at prophecyhour.com, go to the pastor's page if you want to look at the articles. Anyway, the doctor explains why parents shouldn't encourage boys to play with dolls. First off, I just say it's sick, but let's move on it with that. Anyway, a quick look at the headlines gives one the impression that boys and their ways are in bad shape. such as these three headlines. Mass shooters are all different except for one thing. Most are men. That comes from leftist New York Times. Why boys are most likely to be violent and what they can we can do to stop it. That's NBC News. Men are responsible for mass shootings, and that's Harper's Bazaar. Headlines like these are alarming to parents of boys. After all, no one wants to raise a son who will one day be a mass shooter. In order to avoid such a horrific fate, it's easy to reverse course and teach little boys to avoid violence and embrace the more genteel aspects of life. Aspects were generally embraced more by girls. Like what? Dolls. Encouraging boys to embrace girls' toys and behaviors is growing in popularity, particularly with rising interest in gender-neutral, child-rearing. But is that the best move for boys? A medical doctor and psychologist and author, Leonard Sachs, believes the answer is no. So do we. We'll get with the rest of the article. But we can clearly see this, you know, with, you know, with the transgender as part of it, you know, telling boys it's okay to wear different things and not even having they're trying to push it towards not even having boy or girl, just, you know, and not even to use those expressions.
Yeah, I heard that.
In fact, there's a general neutral Bible out there that is made by the publishers of the notorious NIV Bible. And yes, folks, there's a lot of problems wrong with the NIV Bible. I'm going to get a Bible expert on here to talk about those in the near future. But having said that, you know, it's wrong. You know, clearly there's distinctions in the Word of God that tells us that. He did make us, if you ask a scientist, there is clear differences between men and women. And, you know, what's really one of the big problems that we have, or I'm seeing out there, is you'll see there's a lot of the women athletes are now having to compete against men that say they're now women, you know, identify as a woman, so they allow them into the sports event, and they beat the women all over the place because they can run faster. They're generally more stronger naturally than a man is, more than a woman. Not saying there aren't some strong women out there, and some of them are bodybuilders, but the point across is women are physically the weaker sex. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, and there is a thing that you guys can go over and look at the Pastor's page, which is a really good article that I got. I'll tell you about it in a minute. But talking about when we say that women were taken from a man's rib, it's really not the right translation. It's taken from his side, which as he talks about it, this Hebrew scholar in the language, the original language, and makes the explanation that it was really out of the whole half of Adam that he took, that woman was made. So clearly, when we then talk about the women and men coming together in the Bible and becoming one flesh, it makes a lot more sense, because the man has had part of his side taken away from him, and putting them together make them one and whole. A woman, you know, there's some pluses. What would you consider as a woman that you're stronger in generally than, you know, that a woman is than a man? You know, like I stated some advantages a man has over a woman. What do you have that I don't?
I can have a baby.
Oh, my gosh.
I bet you couldn't take the pain. I bet a man couldn't take the pain.
Well, now I would say that you're right, but you know there are a couple of men that have gotten artificial wombs and have now had babies, right?
No, are you serious?
Yeah,
oh,
but you're living in a world of painkillers, so you know.
How they delivered, C-section?
Yeah, I think that's how it was done. I didn't, you know what I mean? I saw the articles about it, and I read about, you know, a little bit. I did
not.
They're
for real. They're not fake.
No, it's not fake. They're also, it's just like, you know, there's at least two different countries where there are planned head transplant and brain transplant. That is, because it's feasible. They can do just about anything, you know. You would be amazed at what will happen in the next 10 years if you sure don't come back. But going back to this, so, you know, but I also believe, you know, I believe you're one of the best, that you're a better prayer warrior than I am, for a mere fact. And that fact is that
emotion.
Emotion, yes. women are more emotional than men.
I've seen some pretty emotional men before.
Right, but you're not getting, we're talking about in general.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, you don't, yeah, there's always exceptions to the rule and everything, but we're talking about in general how God made us. You're a more emotional creature. Women are just that way. Men are less emotional. It's just like it's easier for a man to walk into a store and get the one item, even if it's at the back of the store, and pick it up and walk straight out than it is for a woman. You know, a woman goes through there and looks for the sales and look at this aisle and that aisle and this aisle. And yeah, so clearly we are different.
Oh yeah.
And so we have different tendencies to want to do these, some things, and you know,
I can do dishes better, you can work on a car better, da 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 da.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, going back to that. So we left off with the medical doctor and psychologist believes the answer is no. In a recent article for the Institute of Family Studies, Dr. Sachs explains that parents who try to replace the traditional boys' toys and games of their sons with softer, more girly ones send a harmful message of rejection. As a family doctor with more than a quarter century of clinical experience, he says, I see the potential for significant harm. A parent should communicate love for a child, not love for some idolized child, but love for the actual son or daughter which you have in your home. A boy I know, he says, wanted to play lightsabers with his mom. She refused, and she told me later, I didn't want to condone violence. She told her son to put away the lightsaber, a gift from the boy's uncle. Instead, she offered him a doll and said she would show him how to play with it. She told me that her 5-year-old son burst into tears and ran upstairs to his bedroom and slammed the door shut. Dr. Sachs goes on to explain that such rejection, even while unintentional, can lead to the reclusive, violent behavior customary of school shooters. If you say to your son, I love you, but I don't want you to play with lightsabers, I would prefer to you to play with this doll, what your son hears is, I may say that I love you, but in reality, that what I love is not you, but some idolized boy who would happily play with dolls rather than lightsabers. In other words, a boy completely unlike you. And the resulting boy may grow up to be a teenager whose favorite activity is in the bedroom, indulging in testosterone-fueled fantasies of mass murder and video games, such as Fortune and Call of Duty. Now, I don't attend to that. That can be something, but we've always watched this and that or the other, and it can be bad for you, but I do not believe that completely fuels it. It can fuel it, games and movies. We've always had that problem. But what's fueled it is by not having the right things in your child. If you have the God thing and love of life and all those things, they're not going to turn into a mass shooter or shitting. Anyway, he concludes by saying the desire for aggressive planned toys is natural for boys and should not be discouraged, but instead be channeled into proper usage. If you have a boy who is all boy, your job is not to raise him to be a girl or neuter, but a gentleman and a scholar, a man who is strong in mind, body, and spirit, who uses strength in the service of others. You hear that? Service of others. That's how I was raised. You know, to be natural in service. That's why it's so natural for me when I got saved to want to serve God and to serve others, is because that's the way heroes did. You know, that's what makes the hero. There is no greater thing, the Bible says, than to give one life for your brother. And so that is a natural thing. Anyway, the question is, are we willing to put this effort to make our sons and daughters, our sons, into strong gentlemen ready to defend that which is true and right? In other words, doing things just because it's the right thing, not because of reward. Or would we take an easy way out and attempt to tame them by rejecting their natural inclinations altogether? And the problem with that is, like with anything, if you suppress it long enough, it comes out as an explosion later in life and as an uncontrolled explosion. Whereas you let people experiment with things, and I'm not saying all things, but in general, experiment with them, see what it is, then it doesn't come a festering sore to what explodes into something wrong, you know. But the point is even with that, and they're all aware of it, it's just like, you know, you try to blame all the guns and everything out there for the shooters. You can't. You just blame the violent behavior. All of the rigmarole about it, if you notice, while they pointed out that most of the shooters are male, why didn't they point out that most of the shooters are male liberals?
Because they don't say anything about the liberals.
Well, right, and let's go with this. You know, there's been leaked information about the Las Vegas shooting, you know, where they, you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay.
The man in the motel.
Right, and they closed it up, and they didn't talk a lot about the motive, you know, the FBI, because it's still under investigation, but we've seen some leaked reports, which goes back to the very first. The guy was, look, he opened fire at a country and western concert, you know. Okay, that sounds old-fashioned, country and western. That's how I was brought up. It was country and western, but
it's a new country now.
Yeah, it's a new country. But the point is part of the reason that we believe now that he opened fire is he was a leftist that was mad at Trump people that voted for Trump. And who are those people? A lot of them are country listeners, of course. And so that was part of the reason. So, but they excluded that. Now we can see why the FBI isn't talking about it, because the backlash, because the FBI right now is in the power of the leftists. So, you know, it's really, really, really pretty crazy, you know. So, anyway, having said that, so what do you think? You think we ought to get dolls for all our grandchildren, boys, you know?
Really?
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I'm not a mass murderer. You know what? And I grew up with these shows and everything. And we went out and we fashioned wood shields and made swords. And we, you know, hit each other.
Well, now if they do that, they get put in detention, or because they think they're going to go. Here's one for you. Someone told me. I don't remember who told me, but it was Mike at church. There was a little girl at school that was eating her pizza, and it came out to look like a gun. She wasn't even trying it. She didn't even mean to do it, but it came out looking like a machine gun or something. So they suspended her from school because her pizza looked like a gun. And so they suspended her from school because she ate her pizza and had wrongful thoughts that her pizza turned into a gun. Really?
Yeah. Now, let me encourage you folks. Now, explore where your kids go to school. Explore the environment. It's going to get more and more important as time goes along. You know, I will say things. While I've had lots of different disagreements with the public school up here, but, and, you know, we live out in the country, in a country town, but let's go with this. They still, in that, like Elijah, when all this come out, not Elijah, not that son, Bubba. Bubba, in school, when all this started coming about, guns and stuff in the school and how they wouldn't allow it, at least at that time, a couple of years ago, Bubba, they made him do graphics pictures of somebody, like one of them was an example, to do a video and do all the special effects where a guy's shooting. So he did one of shooting Cody, and Cody's head exploded, you know, his buddy that lives with him, his head exploded, and so... My point is that, you know, not all schools have went insane with that. You know what I mean? They realize that it's just normal stuff, you know. But by far, I believe, folks, especially a lot of you are doing a lot of work electronically or whatever, my strong suggestion to you is that the smaller the town that you can live in, the more country situation that you can live in, get off the coast. Get off the coast. I don't care if it's federal weather or whatever, and with California or Florida per se, but or you like to live on the coast, East Coast. The coast is where all the garbage is, that most of the left is. Look where the red states are. That's what you should do. You should move to a red state, preferably country living. Now, a lot of these suppressed towns will welcome you in a heartbeat because, you know, of dying off and things, and so they welcome people. And you'll find property is just really dirt cheap.
Marion will give you free property if you open business on it. They'll give you free land for commercial property.
Right, absolutely. And so the smaller towns are welcoming. And just don't get in there if you're a leftist here. Now, why would a leftist listen to our program? But, you know, so, yeah, it is. And I'm not suggesting that you move to Kansas or, but there's lots of small towns in every state. And the better off you are, let alone, you know, I do believe that there's going to be things that at some time they're going to really turn dire. And the harder, the bigger the city you live in, the harder it's going to be because, you know, all these wonderful people out there that are, you know, there's a lot of, the first thing, you will lose police. Police will go home to take care of their own families in a complete fallout of society. So you're not going to have police protecting you. And all these other people, when they get hungry, they're going to go look for food, you know, and that means kicking down your door. And so, you know, and there won't be gas and all kinds of things. And so, I suggest strongly living an hour away, basically from a major city. So that's a lot of walking time, you know, for somebody to walk to your city.
And they'll do it.
And, well, they'll eventually do it, but it also gives the time for the city. A smaller town, you know your neighbors a little bit better, and you're more likely to be able to come together to protect yourself. You know what I'm saying. But anyway, a smaller town, it's just, you forget about society falling apart. It already is.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah, so, you know, it's safer. There's less shootings and you know, things like that, you know. So it's a better environment for your children and for yourself. So anyway, but we have to go to Wichita because, we're just so in love with the place. We go there. What do we go over there for, Mom?
Take care of the poor and the homeless.
The poor and the homeless. What do you mean by poor and homeless? I thought the homeless were poor.
Well, there are some of them are. There's people that have money that just choose to live on the street so they don't have to pay bills.
Yeah, absolutely. But the homeless mostly are the poorest of the poor,
yeah.
Of course. And, yes, some of them do have a monthly income as far as a disability check. That runs, I think it's about $770 a month if they get SSI. And some of those, there's a few of those that are out there that do want to just blow their checks and will live in a shelter or something. But most of the homeless don't have any income at all whatsoever if they can even find a job. And so what do I mean about the poor? Who are the poor that we're taking care of?
The people that work and can't even barely pay their bills and rent, but they can't afford food or clothes or anything like that, so they go to food banks and places that feed. And
right, and places that feed, like ours. And they come. And so what do they come looking for? They just come looking for food, people that come into the mission church?
Whatever that they... You know, whatever there's all kinds of things they ask for. They ask for clothes and Bibles and counseling and food. But a lot of times they'll ask for help with their rent, their bills, bus rides, tickets to go home to family, all kinds of things.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, right now, as I said on this program before, I think it's like 43 or 47% of the people inside the United States of America cannot pay their rent, gas, electric, phone, and transportation to get back and forth to work and everything, successfully pay all that clear every month. And so they have, if they're paying their rent and say their phone and something else, something's going to be left out that don't get paid. So if they can find a place to eat to take care of part of that bill, well, that's a big thing because, you know, how's food prices? Food prices just dropping every day, aren't they?
No, they're sky high.
They're sky high? I mean, so we're seeing a huge increase in food prices? You do more shopping than I do.
I shop around for sales. I very rarely pay full price for anything.
Right. So while you do that, so in general, though, are the prices more
expensive?
They're
high, yeah.
Right, that was the question. You know, we know that you do different things, you know, because you're a mom and that's what you do. That wasn't the question. The question was in general.
Just like last week, you bought eggs for $1.69 a dozen, and you got back to the mission, and somebody at the mission told you they was only a dollar. No, you went to a different store, and it was only $1.19.
No, that was like, it was one store they were, I actually went, two stores, and then 2 days later I found an even cheaper price. One store was like a dollar. I want to think it was $1.69.
That's what you paid.
So, yeah. And then I went to the other store. I paid $1.39, and then I paid the $1.69 price, and I got to the other store. It was $1.39.
And then the next, the eggs was $1.19 or
$1.09 or $1.09 or $1.07 or something like that. Yeah, and that brings us to this, folks. We're running out of time. I know a lot of you folks over there in Wichita listen to us. If nothing else, when you see these egg sales, don't think nothing. If you can, drop by and pick up $20 worth of eggs. You know, we serve a lot of eggs, don't we?
Oh, around 50 dozen a week or more.
50 dozen or more a week. Think about that, folks. And so, you know, 50 dozen eggs. When you see a meat sale, pick up some meat. Whatever it is, we'll cook it and we'll feed it out. We use a lot of pasta and rice and those kind of things, and all kinds of paper plates, paper products, paper cups, spoons, knives, forks, you know. Well, not knives,
that's
forks
little,
and
that's
spoons.
A little bit over. We usually go up to 15 dozen twice a week. That's only 30 dozen a week.
A week. Yeah. And so,
we can't keep eggs. If I have more, I used to make pickled eggs, and I really loved those. My mom started those, but the price of eggs is just, I go through so many, I can't do that anymore.
Oh, man, and they love those. We did take a big old gallon jar and put vinegar and something else. Vinegar and water in them, and, man, say, who wants an egg, man? Everybody would have their hand up. Like, two or three of them, man. No, you can't have two or three of them, but eggs were cheaper then. We can't afford that now, which is a crying shame. But if you folks brought me some, that would work. Also, bills are expensive. We are in what you call the summer slump. And I said this on radio before. I'll say it again tonight. You know, a lot of people, I see what he's saying. A lot of people, you made me lose my chain of thought pointing out Frank's comment. I'm totally lost.
I don't even know what you're saying either because I was reading his comment.
Well, you're supposed to pay attention to me, not read his comment. Folks, see what I go through? Summertime.
Summer
slump. Donations, you know, it's almost like turning off a water spigot, maybe not all the way, but to where it drip, drip, drip. And those bills still have to be paid. The air conditioning in the building, which we have no windows in the building. Somebody said, well, why do you even use air conditioning? Well, because there's no windows. That's why. And so in the part of the town that we're in, we're like a fortress. The way that our mission church is because we're keeping people from breaking in.
And it's a stone brick building, too. So.
Right. So the point is that, you know, air conditioning goes up, all the bills go up in the summertime, and the donations go down. So we really do need your help. Pray about it. We really, really do need your help. You want to say goodbye to them so I can do the lead out?
Goodbye, people. I'm going to be back for 2 weeks now.
Why 2 weeks?
Well, week after next. Because that's 2 weeks. I don't come on next Friday. I go to Food Bank. Or next Thursday, I mean.
So we actually get to have somebody on instead of you?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how we got how this happened, folks. I really don't. Anyway, let us
remember
know.
Remember, I was all tied up.
Yeah, you need to be tied up sometimes. Anyway, having said all that, I'm not even going to look at her so I can tell you all goodbye. Point being is that if you like the program, send us an email or something. Let us know. Share our program with others. But folks, remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. We must remember, though, folks, one thing, and that, who is your God? He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights on the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Hey, folks, just a reminder, when I come back in an hour, we've got a new guest on with us tonight, and his book is Time Bomb, A Genocide of Deadly Processed Food, a National Epidemic. So make sure you tune in for that, and if you're listening on podcast, just check it out. It'll be they're on podcast when you're listening to it. Anyway, Lord our God, Father, King Universe, asking you to show homage to his name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.